Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and welcome to it. I am on each and every week. We come to you via our studios over here in Ventura County. That's Southern California. Everybody who's not here, look, if you want to hear and listen to our show, there are so many ways that you can do it. Let's just talk about one way. We are on a number of different podcasts. Our podcast group includes Stitcher, and it includes Google and Apple Music Play and Spreaker and Podclips.io. Great place to find other people, by the way, in our space. Spotify and more, many more. We're also on YouTube. Go to YouTube. By the way, this show, we tape it each week for TV, right? So it's on YouTube. If you go there, click on the like it. Listen to what we have to say. There's so many things in there, nuggets that you might be able to use, maybe not today, next week, or the week after, but you'll remember because we talk topically as well as universally about what's happening in the economy and the world around that affects mortgage interest rates, really, here locally. And so that's really the deciding factor for most people when they want to buy a house. So YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Look, there's somebody doing it right now, trying to call in and figure out where it is that they can see and hear me. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. Thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, so each and every week, the news, we bring a news to use section. We usually do it, you know, right after we do a little bit of the what's going on in the rates. I was scrolling through a couple of magazines this week, just trying to look and see what's happening. The mortgage interest rates have really, everybody knows what's happening in that world. And if you were waiting for the lowest particular mortgage rate to hit your area, guess what? You have lost out. That ship has sailed. It's not going to happen again. We've seen 3 percentage points raise in interest rates this year alone. Now, we're only in April. I mean, we might be seeing 6.5% by the end of the year when I was, and I readily admit we're being wrong, I was predicting 4% by the end of 2022. Well, we blew by that, you know, as they say in the hockey business. We blew by that about 2.5 months ago. We're now at 5.5%, actually over 5.5% in some quarters for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. And that's for good credit people with a lot of money down on purchase. This isn't for the, you know, the 620, 640, 680 FICO person. This is for the 720, 740, 760 FICO person. So to get the best rates, you have to have the best credit, and you have to have the ability to repay, and you usually got to have about 20% down. Now, there are a number of different programs, and by the way, more programs each and every week come out from the different lenders, the non-QM people, the standard people, the conventional people, FHA, Freddie Mac, but the cost to these loans has really skyrocketed. So in order to satisfy the differing people out there in the business, they've really diversified the portfolio, but have really ramped up the cost. And that's really a lot of things that we're going to talk about on the show today with the guests that we bring. So back to the magazines. Okay, I'm looking at Realtor.com. And on this show, we talk about it all the time. And we talk about it not in a good way, but in a reality way. Let's face it. The real estate mortgage business, there are a lot of different ways by which you can see prejudice and you can see lending bias. You can see it. And we talked about it affecting clients of ours and how we deal with it. And usually we rattle cages and bang on doors until we get the proper thing done, or we just switch lenders and go get the loan. As a friend of mine once said to me, do you want to be right or do you want to get the loan? And I, of course, says, no, let's just get the loan because that's what's more important to the client always. So in the Realtor magazine this month, California Association of Realtors, and again, this show is broadcasting in several different states, but I'm located in Ventura County in Southern California, and I look at the California Association of Realtors magazine, which comes out. It's called Realtor, and they're talking about, you know, action steps to take against appraisal bias. Now, appraisals. About 3 weeks ago, I told you about Wells Fargo and how Wells Fargo has come out with a $271 million program to try to change the way that they look at both appraisals and the way they look at borrowers. There was a study done by Bloomberg that pointed out that Wells Fargo, far less than other lenders, banks, and big bank stores, are lending in areas which would be considered what are they called? Minority areas, right? And so much so that it was something like they would lend to 79% of whites in those areas, but only something like half of the number of non-whites, whether they're Asian or Latin or black or other populations. So Wells Fargo comes out, okay, we're going to give you $271 million. And by the way, Wells Fargo, I think, made, I don't know, $8, $10, $20 billion a quarter last year. So $271 million is a drop in the bucket for them, but it makes a headline, makes everybody feel good. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about is the ease by which it happens and the lack of ability to do anything by either powers that be or the banking industry itself. Now, I'm talking to people of color in the industry and said, yeah, we understand why the banks don't want to lend in certain areas. But it's not right, because if 99 out of 100 people are bad credit risks, the one person is still a great credit risk. And how do you define credit risk is on an individual basis, not on, let's redline an area. And so, given that as the criteria and the bottom line by which people are to be approved for loans, people or houses are to be appraised based on the value, not on the neighborhood or not on the people that live there, it's just an interesting article and kind of leads me into a segue. The next thing I wanted to talk about is when we get into an environment like this, and loans are harder to get, let's face it, they're just harder to get. The Fed raises the short-term interest rate to member banks by half a point. We're probably going to see that particular number rise 3-4 more times till we get to 4-6%. That's the Fed funds rate, which has something to do with the mortgage interest rate, but it's not a direct correlation. But we've seen the mortgage interest rate, as I said at the beginning of the show, raise 3 points in 4 months. So all of this means that getting a loan is going to be harder. Now, people in my business, and let's all hearken back to the good old days, right, which they weren't, but at the time they were, 4, 5, and 6, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, before everything fell to terrible. Now, we don't have the same market. The loans are different today than they were. But when we're talking about how business was done then and how business is done today, and we talk about the relative ease by which loans were gotten in those days, which is very similar to what was happening today. How do we reconcile the fact that loans now are going to be extremely hard? Well, let's just look back to what happened then. When loans got hard back in 2007 and 2008, and they got so hard that what would happen is banks would shut down for 3 months, you found people, borrowers, loan officers, lenders, starting to fudge in the paperwork, starting to do things that were obviously illegal. Now, whether it was the company that valued the mortgage-backed securities, Moody's, all these types of companies, whether it was the loans themselves, who were signature loans, basically, because they were seeing property values go up. And by the way, property values, March to March, March 21 to March 2022, 20% up. So that part is similar. But the fraud in the business starts to happen now. Now, it's always in the business. But because of the fact that the loans are harder to get, properties are hard to get, and the income that people in the business is going to go down by 40% this year. So if you're a loan officer, you made $100,000 last year, you're only going to make $60,000 this year. If you're lucky, if you're still employed, if your company is still around. So your temptation to go out there and do something which might fudge a document, might be able to get some loan through that wouldn't be through, is strong. So this is always a conversation we have during this environment. We say, hey, look, it's now worth it. It's not worth it for you. It's not worth it for the lender. It's not worth it for the system. We all saw what happened in the system in 08. The whole thing crashed. The world almost crashed as a result of bad loans. So, again, this is the season. This is the time. And because the market changes the way it changes, these are the things we look out for. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Appreciate you listening to the show each and every week. Thanks for tuning in, and we got some great guests coming up. We'll see you right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Our show is available wherever you need information, if you need it right away. If it fits your busy schedule, we make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website. Hey, go to the website, mortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice and our Mortgage Minute. Now, that Mortgage Minute we do on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram on a weekly, sometimes daily basis. We're also on podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, and Spotify and more. If you want to see, hear us, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. I am Jeff Barton, and thanks for listening to the show. Okay, so the rate, the environment, what's happening in the world from a number of different sources. Most of the times we talk about what's going on personally, like a residential loan. You're a buyer out there, you listen to the show, you go, okay, what's going on? But occasionally we have need and call for professionals in other ends of the business and what's happening right now based on what's going on in the marketplace. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about development. I'm talking about whether it's engineering, whether it's building, whether it's buying land, and depending on where and how you do it, what the process is like, especially in the rate-changing environment and the economic place that we are today. And again, once again, Josh Thompson comes to us with the answers for that. Josh, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, so you know what's going on. You heard the brief introduction. In your business, in terms of development, is it mostly about the money that you secure when you secure it, or does the rate and how it affects regular residential people affecting you right now?
Yes. I mean, it's all kind of connected and tied in. So, I mean, if you're looking at the increase in residential mortgage rates now, that's having an impact on your end buyer and what your end buyer can qualify for, which is going to, you know, in turn have an impact on what you can sell a developed home for, right? So, right. You know, you're looking at interest rates at 2.875% versus, you know, a 5%, that can be a couple of $100,000 in difference of what someone can qualify for. It really hurts your back-end sales price. And then, you know, but not only that, I mean, even our other issues that are going on with the supply chain issues and building costs, I mean, all around home builders and developers are kind of taking a big hit at the moment. So,
and how do you pass that on, directly, or is there some way that you can? I guess you got to pass it on to the buyer, right? I mean, there's no other way to your cost.
Yeah, it has to be passed on to the buyer. You know, in some of the projects that I have going on now, we are going to possibly turn around and maybe hold the units and refi them and hold them as a rental just because of what's going on in the market now. Because in some cases, you know, the demand in the marketplace may not accept that cost to be passed on to the consumer in some cases, right? So,
okay, you know, that's an interesting analysis. Explain that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're looking at just let's say one single family home, right? You're building a single family home in an area in Los Angeles where the market value of the home is maybe $900,000.
Right.
Say it's going to cost you, you know, before, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago, say that building cost was going to be $500,000 for the entire project, and say now that, you know, that was maybe a $400,000 spread that you have on passing that on to the consumer. Now that same building cost is, you know, maybe $800,000, right, to build that same house
right
here in 2022. But maybe the market is only supporting comps of that kind of house, you know, at a sales price of $950,000. Some of it can be passed on, but, you know, at some point you can't pass on a cost to someone that doesn't make sense in that marketplace. So that's why I think the development of new homes, I even see some of the bigger builders and players in it are kind of stagnating and holding off on doing certain projects at this time. I think they're waiting. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see the supply chain stuff get worked out, because that's the big kind of factor that's really negatively impacting the people in the business.
Now, I've seen lumber prices this year really kind of up and down like a yo-yo. It's like a roller coaster. One day they're 1,600, you know, 1,000 square board feet. Next day it's 1,100. Where is it today, and is that one of the issues? It's lumber?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely one of the issues. I mean, there's been so many different, and it's unpredictable. There's so many different forecasts of when it's supposed to come down, and then there are some days that, you know, it does come down. And even on the project that I've been talking to you about at different times in Inglewood that I'm doing, it's, you know, we had an issue with, we started doing grading and shoring, and there was an issue with the storm drain that we found that the city of Inglewood didn't know anything about, and it's owned by the county, and all that stuff. So we spent the last 4 or 5 months just rerouting this storm drain and going through that process. So the materials that we reserved, you know, maybe 6 or 7 months ago and put on hold, we actually circled back a couple weeks ago to, you know, put another placeholder on those same materials, and it was a $700,000 increase in cost. So just in a 6 month kind of period of time, it's very, very crazy.
You right said 700,000?
Yeah, 700,000. Yeah.
Increase.
Yes, increase.
Okay. I would hate that business. Sheesh.
Yeah,
So if you, I don't know how many units you're building over there. Where you been, 8, 10 units?
Those are 20 at that property.
Okay, so it's $30,000-$35,000 a unit that you have to add cost, direct cost, which really don't go into your pocket. That just covers your nut. Wow.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, yeah, and because of the delays, you know, the delays are costing you, and the delays because of the city didn't even, or the county or whoever it was, and municipalities is another thing. How have they, you know, got more people back to work so that there's even a quicker turn time or flow with their particular end of what they got to do, inspections and all the like?
I mean, it's starting to be better now, but it did take a while. I mean, the entire pandemic process. The whole pandemic period was crazy because, you know, you even had to drop plans off in like a certain drop box, and then they'd have to sit there for 24 hours so someone could then come pick them up and transport them to the office and then send them to the plan checker that's working from home. So that's kind of calmed down. A lot of them are back in the office now, so that's a good thing. But still, you know, that stuff is always slow. You know, it's never as fast as it should be. So.
No, I know, and I don't know how many of these cities, municipalities have all their workforce back, even, you know, even if they could come back to the office. I know in my own business, the lending business, I have people that don't want to come back to work. They just said, no, I'm not coming. Either I do this or, you know, find somebody else. And so I don't know how many of that, how much of that is with the city and the liability on the city. All that's got to drag the price further higher just because you can't get things done on time.
Oh yeah. I feel like there's not enough, not enough policy to support, for-profit developers. I think that we're kind of made the bad guy in a lot of cases.
So
we're doing something that the government does not do is provide new housing for people, which is something that's needed. And there's a huge lack of it, right? There's some cases in California, they say there's a housing shortage, right? So, you know, we're just trying to do something that there's a need for. I think there should be a little bit more support in helping us facilitate that goal and, get it done in a faster time frame. So I think it would help everybody out all around.
Well, now, okay, so let's talk just quickly. We've got a couple minutes left about land acquisition. I know that you're looking all the time for cheap property. How do you do that in a market like a big city, like a Los Angeles or... let's say Las Vegas or some of the other cities that are within our listening audience, Albuquerque or any of these places, and what's the calculation you look at for those particular acquisitions?
Yeah. I mean, I always try to look at I always look at land that you know, you may even find the land, because there's not a lot of, like, just raw land out there. I did recently buy a 2.5-acre lot in San Bernardino County in Joshua Tree, California.
Yep, a lot of building out there.
But even if you're buying a lot that already has a structure on it, you definitely want to check out the zoning, right? There's also a lot of counties have tax lien options.
Yep.
And you'd be surprised, actually. You'd be surprised at the luck that you may have at some of those things, because you know, the minimum bid on you on most of those properties usually is just the outstanding tax lien amount. And a lot of people are just asleep at the wheel, and they don't really pay attention to those things. So you may luck out and get a decent, you know, piece of land for less than $100,000. So, that just kind of paying attention to stuff like that and being creative, I think that's the best way. But the zoning is key. Anytime you find a lot, you definitely want to know what can be built on it and what can add value to that piece of land. So if there's any land that you look at that has high density zoning or allows for that, that's something that I think would be that's cool.
Hey, Josh, we've run up against it. Could you tell people, I mean, there's all kinds of people who have questions about this kind of stuff. I don't know if you want to, but if, you know, not only financing, but a whole bunch of things. You want to shout out your phone number, let people give you a ring and if they have questions or if they want to see what kind of business deals you might have.
Oh, yeah. My number is 323-945-5694. Yeah, I do consulting for these kind of projects and also for the construction financing piece of it. So, if you ever have any questions, feel free to give me a call.
Josh, thank you very much for coming on the show once again. Great information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Josh Thompson. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Hey, check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. It's a great website. You can see guests on the show. You can look and see what they are, who they are, what they said. You can contact them directly. You can find our latest on-demand episodes of the Mortgage Voice. You know, I'm having, John, what is the deal with my mouth today? I cannot seem to, like, get this together.
It's warm in here, too, if you know.
Maybe that's what it is.
We're starting to get a little summer weather.
Yeah,
here in Southern California.
It's a little bit. Yeah. Plus, I can't read copy to save my life. I'm just telling you. Okay, you can also check out my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out and bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. Okay, I'm Jeff Barton. Thanks for tuning in. You know, we bring to the show great people, experienced people, people that have been in the business a long time and really know the ups and downs, especially through markets like this. We've been through this before. This isn't the first time that rates have risen. But I wanted to talk to Bill, and I'm talking, of course, about Bill Orr, who works over at Malibu Funding in the Los Angeles area, to talk a little bit about what's going on, not only with the rates, but how do customers react when the market changes so quickly. Bill, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, so first question up is, how do buyers and sellers, people that are trying to refi or not, react when markets change so quickly?
Right. Well, yeah, this has been a big change, and the rates have gone up a lot just since, you know, wintertime, since November, December. But here's the good news, is that homes are still selling a lot. Homes are still multiple offers. The market is still pretty hot when a young couple goes out and starts looking for homes. You know, expect there to be competing against other families who are trying to buy the same home. And the thing about interest rates is that they are cyclical. Now, because of, you know, what happened earlier in the decade, the low cycle lasted longer than normal. They're usually 6 to 8 year economic cycles, but this one went on for the end of George Bush, all the way through Obama, and all the way through Trump. So that's way longer than normal.
Yep.
And what we're seeing right now is correct. This is the way it works. People think that the Federal Reserve's job is to control interest rates. Not really. The Federal Reserve's job is to control inflation.
Right.
That's what they're there to do. And so when they detect inflation coming, they raise the rates as in a way to ward that off.
Now, obviously, the affordability in housing has been tough for a lot of people. And a lot of people aren't going to be able to buy a home because of that. And we also see rents going up. You see any problem with the economy itself faltering if we, like, put the brakes on in terms of raising the short-term interest rates?
It will probably falter. But, you know, for home buyers, the thing here is that home prices always go up. I repeat that. Home prices always go up. So So anybody listening, I'm just going to tell you to Google historical home prices. Just Google it, historical home prices. And you will see that the price of houses always go up. What's cyclical is the interest rates. So what that means is whether you buy a house with a really low interest rate or a medium interest rate or a higher interest rate, you know, and I've always heard people talk about, oh, I bought my house with rate of 17% or 11%
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So if we've got an interest rate in the single digits, you're doing just fine. And you still need a place to live. You still get a tax deduction for buying the house when you can write off a portion of your mortgage interest as well as your property taxes. And the value of your house over time will go up. So real estate is one of those investments, you know, that will just keep on giving. Will it go down temporarily? Of course it has, if you look over historical. But those are small times when home prices go down. They always go up. So if you got to have a place to live, pride of ownership, a place you can call your own, you know, don't let the interest rates scare you off.
Okay, let's talk programs. What are the popular programs today? What are people qualifying for? Is it the same smattering, or are we dipping into non-QM more? Where are we in terms of loan products?
Great question. So, yeah, so particularly for first-time home buyers, FHA continues to be just a great program because it allows you to get it in for only 3.5% down payment.
Right.
If you don't make over a certain amount of money and you have zero monthly debt, sometimes there's a Fannie Mae product or, you know, a conventional loan product that will let you go in for only 3% down payment. But again, those do have income limitations, and not everybody qualifies for those. But the best way, the most common way, particularly for first-time buyers, is an FHA loan, because you can get in for only 3.5%, and then conventional loans financing starts for 5 and 10%. And even right now in 2022, I'll still hear people talk about, oh, well, my dad told me I had to save 20% down. That's just not true at
right,
all.
Right, I agree.
3% down, 5%, 10% down is a great way to buy a house.
Yeah, especially when you see the equity that rises. I mean, we were talking earlier in the show from March of 21 to March of 22, home prices went up 20%. So if you got an FHA loan last year, you can get rid of your MIP this year. So that's
exactly
one of the benefits of having prices go up so quickly.
That's right. And then another thing for all the people who are homeowners listening to the show, interest rates are still, or the opportunity should, I should say, still exists for people to refinance. You're like, well, I don't really want to move. I've got so much equity in my home. I love where I live. I don't
right.
really want to move. So then that's where people, a lot of clients, there's still an opportunity to take cash out, take $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 to build up the house that you live in and go from there.
Now, when and I agree, I think taking equity out, putting it to use rather than having it sit in your house is a good idea for a lot of people, depending on how old you are and depending on, you know, the goals that you have for your financial future. What do you say about people who say, well, but I got that, you know, 2.75 30-year fixed, but I got $100,000 I want to take out of the house. How do you tell them to solve that problem?
I'm sorry, the first part of the question again, I didn't hear that part.
No problem. It has to do with the fact that I've got a low interest rate, but I want to take
right.
money out, and I don't want to replace the low interest rate on a 30-year fix with a double that of interest rate. If I have a 2.5 here and I got 5.5 over here, is there any way to
right.
deal with that?
Yeah, I tell people is interest rates for cocktail parties. People like to talk at cocktail parties about, I got this interest rate, I got that interest rate.
Right.
Well, that's all fine, well, and good. However, if you live in a home and you need to put in that extra bathroom or to add the extra closet space or to whatever you want to do for the house, maybe the exterior needs upgrading, you can talk about interest rate all you want, but the bottom line is if you can afford the payment, go ahead and live your life. So get the upgrades, do the work that needs to be done on your house to make it a more enjoyable place to live. And as long as you can afford the payment, don't worry about it. And then if the rate's too high in your mind, wait for 5 or 7 years, you can refinance. But in the meantime, if you can afford it and it's within your budget, go ahead and do it.
Well, I'm one of these people that thinks 5% is great rate. It was the lowest rate I ever had on a loan that I paid off about 5 or 6 years ago. But at the same time, rates kept going lower, and I was saying, I'm fine with my 15-year 5.125. I was fine with it, and that's kind of where we are right today.
Right. That's right. Right. We're in the fives, and we're expecting the Fed to probably make a move this week or within a few days here. And I think, generally speaking, you know, we all know, we've all heard that there will be, you know, at least a couple of interest rate raises. So, which again, if you didn't refinance before, if you haven't bought before, now is the time, because we know higher interest rates are coming. And home, real estate, or buying your first home or your second home or whatever, moving up is still a great investment because home prices always go up.
I agree. Okay, so if you had a number one reason or a number one thing you could suggest to a borrower who is looking to buy, is in competition, what would you say approaching you and saying, hey, Bill, how do I get a leg up on the competition with which to show them that I'm a better qualified person to buy this house than the other guy who's competing with me?
Great. I've got a great answer for that. It's a service that I offer and that we at Malibu Funding offer as a whole. Okay, so everybody's heard the term, a lot of people have heard the term, I'm pre-qualified, I've been pre-qualified.
Right.
That's kind of like whatever these days, it's not that big of a deal. The next level above that is a mortgage pre-approval, to prove that you're actually pre-approved. However, in this competitive marketplace, sometimes that's even not enough because you're against because you are actually against other families.
Right.
So there is another step past pre-approval, which takes a little more work on everybody's part, but it's 100% worth it, which is we can actually submit to a couple of our lenders for a full loan approval ahead of time or while you're out shopping. So I can do a pre-approval, usually depending on my day, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours to 24 hours, depending on how many other clients are working with that particular day. That's a pre-approval. That's what most people use to go shopping. That's what most real estate agents expect of me to do and the clients expected me to do. The next step above that is full loan approval. Here's what that means. If you're buying a house and you want to separate yourself from the people who are also bidding on the same house that you want, we can now say to the home seller, because that's who's you know, we're trying to influence, is the seller of the home to choose you as the buyer, we can say we're not pre-qualified, we're not pre-approved, we're actually fully approved. The only thing we need is the property appraisal, the escrow and title documents, and we're done, because your file has already been to underwriting. Now, that is a huge difference. If you're not in the business, you may not understand the details of that. In that case, please call me. I'd be more than happy to explain it to you.
Shout out your number, will you, Bill? Let people know.
Sure. My name is Bill, and my last name is Orr, O-R-R, area code 818. 406-4744. Again, 818-406-4744.
Bill, I'm sorry. I'm up against it. I wanted to get your number out there because that is excellent information. Really, you're talking about three different ways by which you can get an approval, and your way sounds like the best way to me.
I've helped many clients get their offer accepted, and they were not the highest bidder.
Excellent. Bill, thank you very much for coming on the show. Once again, great, great interview, and I appreciate the information.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Bill Orr from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. The show is available whenever and wherever you need the information, especially if you need it right away. I know you got a busy schedule. I know how hard you're working. I know you're driving around probably on Saturday, probably right now or Sunday, either going to the hardware store, going to church, coming back from church. You're listening to the show in order to get some answers as to what is, you know, what are you supposed to do in this type of environment? Okay, our episode's on demand from our website, themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice. The Mortgage Minute weekly programs also on Facebook and LinkedIn, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. We're also on Instagram. You can see us, hear us on YouTube. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice is YouTube. This and hundreds of other. By the way, if you go to any of these places to check us out, click on either join or that you like us. Why? Because the more you do that, the more people get the message. More people want to hear this information because you can't get it anyplace else. I'm not selling anything. I'm providing information so that you can make the best decisions possible. So we're also on podcasts, 10 podcasts, a couple of them just off the top of my head, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. And again, thanks for listening to the show. Okay, each and every week we bring to you good people, great people, people who've been in the business a long time. I've known George Gonzalez, oh my gosh, it's got to be 10, 15 years now. He always has innovative and interesting things. Because why? Because he lives in the community that he services, and that's really important to be a local lender. Joining us again is George Gonzalez. George, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for asking. I'm loving the weather out here right now.
Oh, man, I love this time of year in Southern California, and that's where George is calling from. George, tell people on where it is that you're doing business and, you know, the town that you service.
I'm over here right now currently servicing the Inland Empire area. We're in Rancho Cucamonga area, Fontana, San Bernardino area. Been out here for many years, just, you know, trying to give the best and the lowest rate out here in this area.
Now, when you say that, okay, you obviously know, like everybody else in our business, that rates have really gone up a huge amount already this year, lowest rates. And a lot of people don't understand. They'll see, okay, what's the rate? And they see a quoted rate. But you can shop based on your credit score, based on the amount of money down. And what is the range in what you can see in rates offered in the marketplace?
Well, today, you know, on these 30-year fixed on a conforming conventional, you're pushing the 5%. You're yep. in the 5.125, 5.25 range if you have good credit. You know, and if you have a little bit rougher credit down or in the, let's say, mid 600 range, you're going to look probably a little bit over the 5.5 to the 5.75 range, 5.75 is what you're looking at right now as of today's pricing.
Okay, your borrowers, your price, your purchase people that are coming to you for a loan, are they as rate conscious as some, or are they more interested in can we get the property because they need a place to live?
They, and you know what, Jeff, they want to get in the house.
Right.
You know, they're just saying, George, you know what, I don't even want to know the rate. Just tell me what the payment is.
Because, right.
You know, that's what's most important. Can I afford that payment?
Yep.
You know, because eventually if the rates come down, I'll be able to go ahead and refinance and take it down. But the most important thing is I need this house, and I need to make sure I can afford that monthly payment. And that's what they're doing.
Okay, and yeah, and I like that because it really boils it down to what the need of the client is. Client says, look, I need a house. What's the payment? And that's the bottom line to most borrowers, right, in purchase areas?
That is correct. The borrowers want to know how much the payment is and how much down payment. Down payment is big right now is what people are looking for, is saying, all right, since I have to pay a higher monthly payment because of the rate, let's see if I can get a lower down payment, George. Is that necessary? You know, and
right.
I'm saying, well, let's, and again, it's all case by case, depending on per credit, per, you know, income, and per kind of loan they're looking for.
Okay, that's a good point. So what are the ranges of the down payment on a property? I know FHA is at 3.5%. What other down payments are you seeing in loan product?
Well, we have the conforming conventionals. If you have a higher score, let's say over a 680, I'm saying to be safe, you'd be able to put down as low as 5%.
Wow.
In a conventional. But you're going to have mortgage insurance every month, obviously, because you're not putting 20% down.
Right.
But it's still possible for you to get in that house that you're looking for, just a little bit higher on the payment.
Well, the other good thing, and it's good for if you own a house, it's bad if you don't own a house, we've seen increase in equity in homes, you know, last year was 20%, which would get rid of your MIP pretty quickly.
Quickly. It was very, very generous to these people as we're seeing the shift a little bit right now. You know, come back to, I'm having buyers, Jeff, calling me now from 6 months ago who weren't getting offers even looked at, who are saying, oh, George, you know, I can, my offer's accepted now. Let's get going. I'm like, oh,
great.
Right, okay, what happened? So we're seeing that, you know, some buyers have fallen out as well.
Oh, okay. So that's an interesting thing. What I read is that there are some pockets in the country where prices have actually come down a bit and inventory has actually risen. I don't think it's enough to say, oh, my God, the market's turned. But it's nice to hear because it tells you that whatever the Fed is doing may be working in terms of, you know, cooling the housing market a bit, which would get other people, like you say, into a home that they couldn't afford before.
Correct. Trying to control the inflation.
Right.
You know, and
right.
Try to balance it out. And again, like I said, that either you can buy it, you want to, or you don't, because also rent is no joke these days.
No, it isn't. Right. Right. We talked about it earlier in the show a little bit. Rent has really skyrocketed. As a matter of fact, it costs you more to rent than it does to own in a lot of cases.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. So, yep.
Okay. So, looking ahead as to what the, you know, the rest of the summer is going to be, we seeing maybe an increase of another, let's say, a quarter to a half a point in the next 3 or 4 months in terms of the base interest rate. So we may see 6% interest rate may cool off the market. Employment in your area is still pretty strong, right? There's still a great demand for and need for workers in the Inland Empire, I am sure.
Oh, yes. You know, again, there's easy to find a job. You can go apply and they'll hire you real quick. And
yep.
As businesses are growing, you know, but again, they're just trying to make sure they get rid of this COVID and finally thank God finally this COVID mess is this pandemic is, you know, shaking off. And that's what's helping us also.
You know, it's amazing. That was a story that dominated the headlines. Now, I read and unread the same stories everybody else does. Yeah, it's still around, but, you know, it's not that big a deal. Yet a lot of the world are really shut down. China's shut down, really causing some issues in terms of both the supply chain, inflation, all these other issues. But here in the States, now we push that stuff way off. We got inflation to worry about. We have, you know, the war that everybody's talking about. We got other fish to fry right now. And that pandemic kind of got shoved in the background, didn't it?
No, Jeff, you know what, Jeff, like I tell my wife, I said, you know what, I got my own problems to worry about, and
yeah.
once I fix my own problems, then I'll help, you know, the world.
Right.
But, you know.
No.
But I see what's going on, man. They say that the mortgage rates haven't hit this level since 2009, you know, this high.
Right.
And so that's basically, we're trying to slow it down by, you know, raising up the rates. Making, you know, as you notice, the stores, everything's more expensive. Groceries are more expensive and
yep.
and whatnot. And so we'll see if that balances out a little. But I see it also hurting some people as well. You know,
so do I.
So,
yep.
Yeah. You know,
no. Inflation's a real thing, and getting that under control is the Fed's main focus right now. And if the economy does slow down to the point where, you know, some people will be hard pressed to get a job, but right now there's 11.2 million jobs going unfilled, so that's not the issue today.
Right, exactly. Everybody needs to get to work. The real work. Let's get real work, and not just, you know, the work that think that's out there. We got to real get back to put your hands on, get your hands dirty again, and
yep.
get back in the field.
Excellent.
You know?
George, we're up against it. Really appreciate it. Shout out how people can get a hold of a terrific loan officer, especially out there in the IE.
Very, very simple. Direct cell phone number is area code 909-900-9565. Once again, 909-900-9565. George Gonzalez.
Okay. Thank you, George. Thanks for coming on the show. As always, great information. Appreciate it.
You got it, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's George Gonzalez from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton is available on demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on YouTube. Hey, we upload the video version of this show every week. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can listen to the show on demand with your mobile device via any of our podcast partners, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spreaker, iO, Clips, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available upon traditional radio. We're on five stations in three different states. We're in the Inland Empire in Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. Our show is available whenever you need it. I'm Jeff Barton. This is the Mortgage Voice. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, let's get right to it. News to use section for you, the interest rates. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, 5.54% for a 30-year fix. Think about that for a second. Now, that's still a great rate. As I said, my first loan is in, back in the dark ages, was 8.75%. So this is still well below that. And even that I was happy to get, 5.5%. What it means is you have to have a certain amount of money in the bank, and you have to have a great job to buy a certain cost of a house. And we'll talk about housing a little bit later, a little bit. Okay, 4.88 for the 15-year fixed, 5.0 for FHA, 4.7 for the jumbo, and 4.62 for the 5-1 ARM. The 10-year is at 2.96, and the 2-year, which we always talk about, that dreaded inversion, is quite a bit lower than that. I believe it's at 2.7 zip, so it's about a quarter point less than this. So the 10-year yield, about 3%, right? And it wasn't so long ago that it was at 0.63%, half a percentage point, maybe 18 months. Okay, so this is what's happening with the rates. This is what's happening with the yield on the Treasury, the 10-year Treasury. These things will affect your mortgage interest rate and obviously your reason and your ability to be able to go out there on the market, find a house you like, and purchase it. The housing bubble. Do we have a housing bubble? I don't know. It's very interesting to look at the what had transpired back in 2008 versus what is happening today. The loans themselves in 08 were not great. A good 30-40% of them were not great at all. There was a whole systematic failing from the person getting the loan, the person who's giving the loan, to the bank that was lending the money, to the people who were evaluating the mortgages, to the appraisers who were appraising the properties. There was a whole systematic, it just all fell apart, and therefore the world almost fell apart. Well, that's not happening this time, but there is an issue with the amount of equity that keeps rising in homes across America. As I said earlier, March 21 to March 22, property values in the U.S. went up on average 20%. 20%. So if you had $1 million house, your house is now worth $1,200,000. Not bad, huh? So if you had a $500,000, yeah, right, it went up another $100,000. That's still pretty good. If you have an FHA loan and it went up 20%, guess what? You don't have to pay MIP anymore. So all of these things are good, I guess. But two things, the increase in property values and the increase in money that you're going to make at your job, i.e. employment increase in wages. These are two inflationary items that don't get talked about a lot, but really, I don't want to get into the socialist element of the show, which we don't have, but it does sound like that. If we're saying, okay, a guy makes more money and now a gal wants another 20% raise, so they get it because people need people back to work. There's 11.2 million job openings to people who can't, who need a, what am I trying to say? Yeah, 11.2 million people who can get a job, jobs that are open, I can't even talk anymore, but that right now they're going unfulfilled. And so what happens to the economy when that happens is we have inflation in job, because if you need somebody to come and work for you, you got to pay them more money because there's other choices out there. Well, that is being blamed, as many other things, as to why prices rise. If I got to give my person a 20% raise, I have to raise my product by 20% in order to pay for that. All of that is false. All of that is, it leads to the belief that somehow giving a person a raise is bad for the economy and bad for you. It's the psychology of how we've kept workers the way they are and have kept the difference between people who make all the money and people who just work for a living apart from one another. Be that as it may, and how that works. Do we have a housing bubble, and how do we solve that particular perception in the marketplace, or is it actually a housing bubble? Let's look at a couple of things so that we can kind of understand exactly, what we're looking at here. People look at rentals and they say, okay, based on the amount of money that you got to pay in rent for the same property today than you paid 5 years ago, and you're probably going to have to pay in 2 or 3 years from now, the percentage in raises on rents that have been going up is astounding, almost off the charts astounding. Like, you can't imagine paying more rent than you would pay if you bought a house. But that's what's happening. And that is one example of that there's a housing bubble, i.e. the cost to own is less expensive than the cost to rent. That's one of the indicators that is given, and I've read it on two or three different occasions across, you know, whether it's Housing Wire or Mortgage News Daily, or like I said earlier, through that Realtor magazine. They all talk about rentals, the increase in rental prices, and why that's an indicator that we may be in a housing bubble. Rising interest rates. Well, we all know the rising interest rates. We've seen it, and I've documented it well. I mean, I wish my prediction was true, even though it was still rising, but it's not rising like this. The economic downturn. It's possible, right? We may see, and we you know, the naysayers are out there, but they're also prognosticators, meaning that they're saying, we can guess, because of the situation we see and have seen in history, that this will happen. Well, that's what's happening here with the crash. Are we going to see a mortgage, not a mortgage downturn, but an economic downturn because of all these different factors? If we put the brakes in the economy, i.e. easy money goes away, we stop buying mortgage-backed securities, treasuries stop being bought by the Fed, we have a roll-off of the Fed, what's on their balance sheet, $9 trillion worth of these assets, that's going to take money out of the system. Taking money out of the system, where are you going to go in order to find money to buy equipment, to grow your business? Well, you have to do it by paying more because there's not enough of it. Everybody knows supply and demand. If there's a lot of something, it doesn't cost as much. But if there isn't, it costs more. So that's one of the other indicators. And that's kind of the we're not quite sure where that is. We're not sure, you know, is that the truth? I don't know. And then more properties on the market. That's a maybe, too. What we're seeing, okay, foreclosures are up. Everybody knows that. You look across the board, you can say, all right, if we have foreclosure increase at a certain percentage now than we did last year, where are those properties and are they going to come to market? Well, if you look historically, we have the lowest foreclosure rate in almost in history, although we've seen an increase because there's no more COVID protection. So COVID hits, 10 million homes go into go into the COVID protocols. All those people stop paying their mortgages. They start coming out of the COVID protocols a year, 18 months, 2 years. Now we have, I don't know, 1.2% of homes across America still in forbearance, and a lot of those properties going into foreclosure. But is that really a big number historically? No, it's not. So that's not really an indicator, even though they're making headlines right now. People are looking for cheap housing, but those aren't the things that are going to save you. More housing is going to come from construction. More housing is going to come from cheaper money to build. More housing is going to come from people who sell their homes, but nobody's going to sell their home at a 3% interest rate. Where are you going to go and get that kind of interest rate? You're instantly going to sell your home, make a ton of dough, but you're going to spend it in interest rate when you buy the next home. So there's a real freeze on that kind of housing, and that's one of the issues that we're dealing with if we're talking about, one, what's happening with the housing bubble, two, what's happening with the economy. Anyway, we got about a minute. Let's run through a few more of our headlines here. The Fed rate rise at 50%, yep, that happened. It's going to happen again in another month and a half. Job openings, as I said, 11.5 million. Why HELOC demand will surge? Well, obviously, you're not going to give up your 3% or 2.5% mortgage to have a blended rate of 5, 6%. You're going to get a HELOC, and you're going to, you know, use it or not use it. But you're not going to touch that first. Absolutely not. Mr. Cooper, InterFirst, a whole bunch of lenders laying people off. That's going to continue to happen. HomePoint exit correspondent. Nobody cares about that in the retail world, but in my world they do. Why is that important? Because correspondent world is a big channel during the COVID lockdown. Not so much anymore. And HomePoint's one of the top 10 lenders. Let's see. Housing less affordable since 2006. That's right. Since 2006, we haven't seen this kind of affordability problem. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.